With that introduction, now let's actually start the Chazar Shir. So I think this Chazar Shir is going to be split into three major parts. The first part is going to be the background in the Shakavataria, which, as we'll see, is also going to connect to what we did the past 2 days, which I'm not going to talk about as much. I'll explain more. But that's number one. We're going to talk about the background. We're going to talk about the Shakavataria of the Gemara, of the Mishnah, and Sadi Amun Aleph and Sadi Amun Beis. The second part that we're going to discuss is Gerushin a mitzvah? That's number two. And number three is going to be, what are the nafkaminas, or in this case, what's the nafkamina to that perspective, or those perspectives, I should say. So let's begin. We know that there's a Mishnah on Sadi Amun Aleph at the end of Gittin, which presents a three-way machlokas between Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and Rebbe Akiva about when is divorce justified. When are you allowed to get divorce? So we said, according to Beis Shammai, a person is only allowed to get divorced in cases of matzaba erevas davar. According to Beis Hillel, afilu hikdichlu tafshilo, and according to Rebbe Akiva, afilu if you find someone matza isha nahemena. So we want to understand, what is this machlokas about? What are they really arguing about? And how do we frame this entire debate? Is Beis Shammai the most machmir, while Beis Hillel and Rebbe Akiva, on the other hand, are more frivolous with divorce? Right? Beis Shammai says you can only get divorced in cases of Ervas Davar, and Beis Hillel and Rebbe Akiva say, no, you're being too narrow, you have to broaden your horizons for what's the justification for divorce. Or maybe we could suggest that Beis Hillel and Rebbe Akiva are actually talking about some sort of expansion of Ervas Davar, meaning they agree with Beis Shammai in a way. Beis Shammai says you can only get divorced for Ervas Davar, and Beis Hillel and Rebbe Akiva say, you're right, but Ervas Davar might mean more than actual Znus. Or maybe they just have what Rebbe called a more like liberal way of looking at marriage, wherein it's a necessary component to have a way out, to have an exit strategy. That when you have the option of divorce, that actually helps your marriage. It makes your marriage better because you're not forced in to your marriage. It's like an act of volition, Rebbe kept saying. It's an act of ratzon. Okay, so the reason I'm throwing out options is because we're not going to actually pin these down. These are just things that Rebbe was raising that now we're actually going back to the previous two shirim, right? We're trying to figure out what is Shitas Beis Shammai, what is Shitas Beis Hillel, what is Shitas Rebbe Akiva. But what I want to talk about in today's Chazar Shir is not that. We need to figure out the background to that. Because in order to understand Beis Shammai, Rebbe Akiva, Beis Hillel, what's the Mishnah talking about, we need to understand these Gemaras which refer to Gerushin sometimes as a mitzvah, these Gemaras which sometimes imply that it may be an Isser, and other Gemaras which say it's a Chova, Rishos, what is Gerushin? In order to figure out when is Gerushin allowed, you need to understand what is Gerushin, right? So today we want to figure out, is there a mitzvah, Ligarish, or not? That's our central question. Okay, we're not going to pin down the Shitas of Rebbe Akiva, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. That's for the next Chazar Shir. I today just want to talk about, is there a mitzvah of Gerushin or not? And the reason why that's an important question is because it's going to help serve as background for, again, the next topic, which is, well, once we figure out that Gerushin is or isn't a mitzvah, we're going to get more complex. Could we be mechalik between different cases? Could we be mechalik between different Shitas? What about Zivug Rishon? What about Zivug Sheni? So all of those are only going to be able to be penetrated if we have a background of, is there a mitzvah lagarish or not? And hopefully it'll make more sense once we actually get into the substance of it. So that's the background. We want to figure, is there a mitzvah of Gerushin? And that's going to serve as the context for understanding this machlokas between Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and Rebbe Akiva. So let's move on to the second section now. Is Gerushin a mitzvah? This is the main section of the Chazar Shir. Okay, and there are three subsections to this actual section. Right? So is Gerushin a mitzvah? The first subsection is we need to figure out the connection between Kiddushin and Gerushin. Because if we want to figure out whether to count Gerushin as a mitzvah, it makes a lot of sense to look at the parallel Kiddushin. Should we count Kiddushin as a mitzvah? And looking at how the Monei HaMitzvos count Kiddushin as a mitzvah will give us insight into whether Gerushin is an exception, is it parallel to Kiddushin? If it is an exception, why? If it's a parallel to Kiddushin, why? Right. So in order to figure out Gerushin, it's a great foil to have Kiddushin as a model. Then we're going to look at the actual Monei HaMitzvos, and then we're going to talk about the Bracha. Right. So number one, when it comes to the connection between Kiddushin and Gerushin, it makes a lot of sense to connect Kiddushin and Gerushin, and we could expect that in the Minyan HaMitzvos there might be a parallel. Because after all, one is getting married, and one is being matir the marriage. So it wouldn't be so crazy if there was an overlap between Kiddushin and Gerushin. At the same time, we could also expect a distinction between Kiddushin and Gerushin, because Kiddushin, for example, is more positive, whereas Gerushin is something much more negative. We don't like divorce. So maybe something negative isn't going to be counted in the Minyan HaMitzvos, whereas something positive like Kiddushin would be counted in the Minyan HaMitzvos. Additionally, a reason why Kiddushin might be different is because it's actually subsumed under a mitzvah such as Pru Erevu, which we wouldn't say for Gerushin. So there might be differences between Kiddushin and Gerushin for a number of reasons, and we have to figure out in the Minyan HaMitzvos, if we do find a difference, why is that a difference? And does that tell us that Gerushin is not a mitzvah or that it is a mitzvah? Okay, so now let's get into the actual Shitos. What do the actual Mona HaMitzvos, the people who count the mitzvos, say about Kiddushin? What do they say about Gerushin? So we noted the Bahag and the Yoreim, number one, they both don't count either Kiddushin or Gerushin as a mitzvah. We said that the Bahag does have the mitzvah of Gerushin listed under the subsection called Mitzvos HaSibur. He has a mitzvah called Mitzvos HaSibur, and in that he lists Gerushin. But that Rebbe didn't think that that was actually counting Gerushin as its own mitzvah, but instead connected to the Ramban we saw earlier in the year, who said that maybe there's an azhara on Beis Din to like protect the institution of divorce, and that is because Gerushin, as we'll talk about, is connected to Kedushas Yisrael, and Beis Din has a specific and important role to protect institutions which reflect and connect to Kiddushas Yisrael. But it does not get its own counting in the Minyan HaMitzvos. The Smad, though, does count Kiddushin as a mitzvah. He says it's a mitzvah l'kaddish. And when it comes to Gerushin, he doesn't say that. He only talks about Ksav, he talks about the Asara Dvarim, but he doesn't mention a mitzvah l'garish. No mention of any mitzvah. So we see that the Smak does distinguish between Kiddushin and Gerushin. The Smak does have a consistent lashon for both Kiddushin as well as Gerushin. He says that there's a mitzvah l'kaddish and a mitzvah l'garish. And then we saw the Sefer HaChinuch, who following in the Rambam's footsteps, doesn't have any mention of a mitzvah l'garish. He only talks about the details of Gerushin, the Asara Dvarim, the Ksav, the Ratzon, etc. But he doesn't even mention the Asara Dvarim, sorry. He just has the Ksav. He only emphasizes the Ksav. But he doesn't say anything about a mitzvah asei lagarish. No, upfront lashon like that. An interesting point in the Chinuch, though, that we did mention, which is very important, is that he says, if you fail to do gerushin with a ksav, it's a bitul asei. And we noted that that was very strange. Why should something like that be a bitul asei? Meaning, if I try to do something and my attempt doesn't work, it's not a bitul asei. It's just nothing. I didn't do anything. So if I try to do gerushin without ksav, just say that Gerushin's not chal. Why is that a bitul asei? A bitul asei is like, it's like a slap in the face. Like, I missed an opportunity. You didn't miss an opportunity. You just didn't do gerushin. You didn't do anything. It was inconsequential. So why is that called a bitul asei? So we said earlier in the year, and again, we'll talk about it more when we get to Ben Noah, but we said earlier in the year, at the beginning of the Hakdama, that Eitan gave a Chazar Shiran, that Ksav and Gerushin, Big Ksav, reflect an institution of Kedushas Yisrael. That Gerushin is connected, and the fact that Gerushin as done Biksav is connected to the fact that the Kedushin is something that creates such a strong bond. And because of that, it shows that Jewish marriage and Jewish Ishus is different than other religions might have it. And therefore, because this is something unique to the Jewish people, which again we'll see in the Ben Noach section, so not utilizing it, not taking the opportunity to use Git and Biksav is really like a slap in the face. You're saying, I don't want this special thing that Hashem gave just the Jewish people. We're going to see in the Yerushalmi, says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's miyachid shmo al Gitin. And you decided not to use that. So that is a bitul asei. It is a missed opportunity. It is taking something and instead using like a cheap alternative, so to speak. And that's why it would be a bitul. And that would be consistent with things we said earlier in the year. Yes, for you.
Was necessarily Kiddushas Yisrael as opposed to Kiddushas
Ishus? I think we're saying that Kiddushas Ishus is a reflection of Kiddushas Yisrael. And that's why the Rambam starts off we'll talk more about this, Hilchos Ishus, with the post-Matan Torah reality and alteration of Ishus. If that makes sense. We'll get back to it, though. Yeah, I think that's what Rebbe said. Because based on Natan, right, you had like a different take on it, but I think based on that, Rebbe clarified that he thought the Aseh was Biksav, and you're like missing that chance. Good? Any other questions? Yeah. Right, so that was Akiva's point, that it sounds like he's emphasizing some sort of like Machshel Harabim. Rebbe thought it was maybe like two different components, that like you're missing the opportunity and you're being matched. It's like an extra problem. It's a tacked on issue.
It's not part of the Bitul Aseh.
It's like it's kind of like, you know, tacking on the more problems and more problems that you're doing by not doing Gerushin B'Ksav.
I remember said that was part of the Bitul Aseh. Yeah. Then of himself gives two reasons for why we're in Gerushin B'Ksav.
Right.
But when he mentions why you're being baffled the Aseh, he for some reason only mentions one. So Rebbe connected the second reason that the Chinuch said we have to do with B'Ksav as what you're also being about, though, which is like a logical progression within the Chinuch. It's not just adding on. You're actually being baffled the Aseh. But if we have...
You're saying he integrated them.
Both to protect Znos and Klal Yisrael, and to protect this individual marriage, because Shem is not right, though. So then the Bitul Aseh is both you're leading to Znos and Klal Yisrael, and you're not protecting the sanctity of this specific marriage.
Right, so that I think that's what I meant by, like, it's an extra level of the problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. You don't...
No, I'm just not sure. I don't think he took it that far. I think there was different people suggesting
that one. I'm not sure. I think that... I'm not sure exactly. But I hear both... I think that at the end of the day, it is something the Chinuch mentioned, something to keep in mind. But definitely the ikar of the Bitul Aseh is the Ksav point, which is, again, connected to the fact that the Rambam thinks we are going to require Ksav by only a Jewish Gerushin, which we'll talk about. And that is a missed opportunity if you don't utilize it. Okay. So that, yes, for real.
Structurally, this is here just because it's in Chinuch. Because it has anything to do with anything else.
Right, and all, yeah, so I'm only mentioning that now because I'm mentioning Sefer Chinuch. I'm really focusing on, like, what is the different minyan mitzvos. Agav, we're going to, you know, mention this Bitul Aseh, and also it's going to relate to, again, the crescendo of this shir, which would be the Naf Kamina of Ben Noach, which really highlights everything we said at the beginning in the first two shirim about how Gerushin is really a reflection of Kiddushas Yisrael. It's the best way to highlight what Kiddushin is all about. And Kiddushin itself is something which is sacred to Klal Yisrael. Good?
His reading of the mitzvah is different. His reading of this is very important. It's a chiyuv as opposed to a
kiyuv. Yeah, no, of course. But
it's not just agav. It's a fundamentally different reading.
I know, I'm saying, but the you're right. It is an important aspect of understanding his shita. But I'm saying the explanation of it is more connected to what we're going to say later. But yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree. Okay, so now... Let's move on to just the bracha aspect, okay? So we mentioned, again, we want to figure out, as a foil, how does the bracha by Erisin, Kiddushin, how does that work? And how does the bracha, or lack of a bracha, by Gerushin work? So we said when it comes to Birchas Erisin, we're met with something very strange. If anyone's ever been to a wedding, there's a very strange formulation. It's, you know, Asar Lanu Es Harusos V'Hitir Lanu. It's Arayos V'Hitir Lanu Es Haruso. It's very weird, very long bracha, very lengthy text. It's not something you typically see in a Birchas HaMitzvah. Normally, Birchas HaMitzvah is Asher Kiddushanu V'Soso V'Tzivanu Al HaX or LeX, to do this or to, you know, bless this Chesed Shal Mitzvah. Like, what is a Birchas Erisin about? It's super long. So what is it? And if it's a Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, so then why is it before Erisin? Right, so you have these weird components that make it a big machlokas rishonim. What is the nature of Birchas Erisin? So we mentioned the Rush, who says that Birchas Erisin is a Birchas Sheva V'Hoda. Okay, and the Rambam seems to imply, though, just in his placement and the way he formulates it, pretty clearly that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. Birchas Erisin is a Birchas HaMitzvah, and then just in order to really highlight what Birchas Erisin and what is Erisin all about, we mentioned the Shita of the Rambam, which is that Birchas Erisin is always recited, regardless of whether the Shliach or the Mekadesh Atzmo is making the bracha. Let's say, is doing the Maisa Kiddushin, I should say. Let's say you have a Shliach who's doing the Maisa Erisin. We know that that a man is allowed to use a shliach in order to do erusin. So let's say that's the case. The Rambam says he still makes a bracha, a birchas erusin, or the Masad Kiddushin would still make a birchas erusin. And the reason why this is important is because it's not so pashut. We saw that there are others, like the Chachmei Provence, the Chachmei Ashkenaz, who disagree. They say, no, only when the Mekadesh Atzmo, the person who's going to do the Nisuin, the person who's getting married, is also doing the Erusin, that's when you say a bracha, a birchas Erusin. Whereas, if a Shliach is the one performing the Erusin, you wouldn't make a bracha. So what is the nature of this debate? So Rebbe mentioned that there is a shita of Rav Yosef ibn Palat, quoted in the a lot of the tshuvas of the Rishonim, who says that when you have something negative, you don't make a bracha on that thing. When something is perceived, as Rebbe put it, in a jarring way, it's something shocking, it's something that maybe we don't want to highlight in a positive way, we're not going to make a bracha on it. So how do we look at Erusin? Some Rishonim say Erusin is just Tchilas Nisuin, which means it's the lead into, it's the beginning of Nisuin. And if so, that's great. It's a beautiful thing. Nisuin is the eventual marriage. It's the completion of the bond between husband and wife. And therefore, the beginning of that is also a wonderful thing. It's the first stage in a wonderful process. So it should have a bracha. But the Ravid and also the Shita Yeshana, quoting the Shita Mikubetzes, holds that actually that's not what Erusin is. Erusin doesn't bring them closer. It's not the beginning of Nisuin. It's a greater distance. It's an oser. It's something that breaks apart the couple before they're allowed to have the eventual matir of Nisuin. So if it's a greater distance, so maybe Erusin is not such a positive thing. It's actually a negative thing. And this connected to how we understand this Machlokas Rishonim. Because maybe the Chachamei Provence hold that, you know what? Erusin is actually, it's not such a bad thing to have a greater distance between the husband and the wife right before the Nisuin. Why? It provides a greater context which gives Kedusha to the eventual marriage. Right? By being separated first, that makes the Nisuin in a state of Kedusha. And therefore, Erusin, although it looks like a negative thing, it's actually something really positive because it's, as Rebbe called it, an investment in the marriage. So if it's an investment in the marriage, it actually would have a bracha. But maybe, according to the Chachmei Provence, it's only an investment in the marriage if we could see the Erusin is connected to the Nisuin. And what is a way we see Erusin is connected to Nisuin? When one person is doing Erusin and Nisuin. If a separate person is doing the Erusin, though, so then you just have someone who's creating distance, and then later someone else being matir that distance. So the creation of the distance, the Erusin, is not perceived as a way of providing context to the Nisuin, and therefore it only creates distance and would be negative and therefore not have a bracha, and that would explain the shita of the Chachmei Provence on why there's no bracha if a shliach is the one being mekadesh. Whereas if the man who's getting married himself is the mekadesh, so then this is a wonderful thing. It's an investment in the marriage. It highlights that we are trying to begin this marriage with the context of Kiddusha, and therefore there would be a bracha. And maybe the Shita Sarambam is, no, it doesn't matter. Erusin is always an investment in the marriage. It doesn't matter who is going to be Mekadesh, Shliach, or Mekadesh Atz, or the person who's being Nose. It doesn't matter. It's always a positive. It's always an investment in the marriage, and therefore there's always a bracha. So just before, maybe I'll take a question. That was slightly tangential, but the point is, we see Birchas Erusin, there's a bracha for Erusin, I should say. There's a bracha for Erusin. And that's a big deal. That shows us this is a positive institution. It might highlight this is a mitzvah, this is something. It raises the stakes, as Rebbe would say. It raises the stakes of what Kiddushin is and brings it to a stage of a mitzvah, according to some. Any questions? Yes. Why would it, the shliach wouldn't warrant...
If he's part of it, then he can say the shevach, but it's definitely like an outside person, not part of the institution.
But he's being mekadesh. I don't know. I don't see why that would make a difference.
Is the proof that the Chachmei Provence states that there is a mitzvah?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so.
I think we raised that possibility.
That's a shevach avodah, and it might change.
It's not interesting.
Right.
Not
right. Yeah.
But he also mentioned the chelov between the bracha over last yasa and not over last yasa. In other words, he said Erusin is always the person said over last yasa.
Right.
Well, how did that play into
Chachmei Provence don't always. I think he was talking about Birchas Nisuin.
Yeah.
Is that what you're referring to?
No, I think the Ravid
says the air some later. Yeah, no. So that, and then there's also machlok about the Ravid says that the reason why you make it beforehand is because Tali B'das Achirim. Sorry, afterwards, even though it's a Berachas HaMitzvah. Because the Rambam says, no, it's beforehand, it's a Berachas HaMitzvah. And the Ravid agrees with him and says, no, it's afterwards, it's Tali B'das Achirim. But I don't think the Shliach affected. The point, Rebbe was saying that you could have expected, especially for the Rambam, that there wouldn't be a bracha on Erisin, and therefore it's very much a pleasant surprise that we do find the Rambam has a lot of conviction. This is a Birchas HaMitzvah. It's a mitzvah. It has a bracha. It's beforehand. You always make it. And that's going to be a contrast to Gerushin. It's like he's taking a stance that this is not something we're shy about. This is like a real, real bona fide Birchas HaMitzvah. It's like a full. No, I think that could just, it could be, but it's probably more for like a technical reason. Yeah, I think he was bringing up that the Rambam is not ambivalent towards calling this a Birchas HaMitzvah, which by Gerushin we will find people who have that ambivalence and say, no, we're not going to make a bracha on Gerushin. This is a negative thing. You have a question? No, I don't think they said that.
There's a Havamina, or according to the Kabbalah, so maybe they would hold that the Mikdash, when he comes to the wedding for Nisuan, would say the Berachah then.
Right, okay, yeah. But I don't think anyone says the Chachmei Pravan say it switches to not over Lasiyasim. I think we were just saying the Rambam is the one who, like, as opposed to the Ravid, who says it's not over Lasiyasim. But, yeah. I mean, the Ravid would be included in the Chachmei Ashkenaz. So, I mean, that is also, yeah. So that would also be, but yeah.
That other sound of Chakir, I don't understand it. Tchilas Nisuin, everyone agrees, I assume everyone agrees that she's Asur Lekulei Alma.
Right, but how do we look at that? Like, is there everyone agrees she's usher, but do you see that as like creating even a greater distance between them, or like no, it's just the beginning of eventual matir?
I'm not getting it. What's the nachkumi between those two things? I mean, okay, we were saying
because if you say it's just the pre-stage of the nisuin, so then it's okay, it's great, it's a beautiful thing, it's the first stage in nisuin.
I understand.
How distinct is Erisin? How distinct are these two different stages? If it's something distinct, so we're going to say this is an osa. This creates distance between them. But if you say no, this is like it's connected to Nisuin. It's like a Siamese twin to Nisuin. It's the Tchilas Nisuin. It's the pre-stage, the first stage of Nisuin. So then it doesn't matter that there's a momentary distance. It's like we're looking at Nisuin. It's all about Nisuin.
Yeah, that's what he said in the first halacha on Ishus, right? He said that in the first halacha on Ishus.
That was a different thing. That even if there's a mitzvah of kiddushin post matan Torah, the goal is always for nisuin.
Is there any other nafkumin between other than the simcha thing or the?
I'm not sure.
What rise did he bring to say that the Rebbe and the Rambam hold it? He said something. I can't remember it.
That the Rambam holds.
That the Rambam holds that it's.
Well, the Rebbe said. I mean, the Shita Yishana. According, if you look, he says it.
He says explicitly that it's an asura on the path.
Not everyone
holds that.
Oh, Isher Ishish.
They're usher to each other, but no, not everyone holds that there's an Isher Ishish.
Yeah,
Ishish.
Yeah.
I think Rabbi Simon shared that there's people who hold that Isher is only their bond.
He said even more than the Rambam because of the first Ophanesians.
Yeah. Okay. Any other?
Yeah, I'm sorry,
no, please. This is what Chazar Shir is for.
I'm pretty sure we did say that Al Qurban says Birchin Israel, and it's not a Rasa.
Right, I mean, that's the Shita arrived. And
the Tosos and the Sakhs are lines.
Okay.
Is a Bracha that's not over Rasa.
Yeah, that's.
I'm pretty sure he says that.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's not connected to the shlichus point. That's what
yeah,
I'm saying.
It was a separate point, but I thought...
Yeah, it is. But it's not part of their shlichus. That if there's a shliach, you make it a... That wasn't part of... That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Good?
They say it's not only
yeah. Good? Yeah?
Why is this... so compelled? Sorry.
Yeah?
Sorry.
Okay, one more question. Yeah.
Yeah, why was he so compelled to say in the Rambam?
What? That
the same thing as the right.
This like that it's that Averson is, I think there are other rayas just based on how the Rambam looks at Nisuin. I mean, this also just fits very nicely with the lamdos of what the Rambam is saying about the Shliach.
The Rambam before
the town. Again, we can talk about it more afterwards, but I think it fits also very nicely with what the Rambam says at the beginning of Hilchos Yishus. But yeah. Okay. So, with all this in mind, again, like Ezra was pointing out, the Rambam is not at all ambivalent. He's very much taking a stance that something which maybe would not have had a bracha, like Erison, you could maybe look at it in a negative way, but no, we're going to look at it positively, and it's going to have a bracha. When it comes to Gerishin, there's no bracha at all. So why is there no bracha? And the Rishonim were very troubled by this. And we mentioned that the fact that the Rishonim were troubled by it is interesting, that it seems like there's a default. Like if the Rash was writing a tshuva, the Rivash was writing a tshuva, why is there no Berachas Gerishin? It's like, oh, there should have been a Berachas Gerishin, right? Why is there no Berachas Gerishin? That assumes that by default we should have expected a bracha. So Rabbi said, does that have a mina reflect that Gerishin is a mitzvah? And if so, what's the conclusion? There's no bracha and therefore it's not a mitzvah? Or it is a mitzvah, but for some sort of peripheral reason, we're not going to make that bracha. But of course, it's still a mitzvah, right? That's the initial assumption. You should have a bracha. So what were some of the answers in the Rishonim? So the Rivash said that, oh, look, Kiddushin has a bracha, like we just mentioned, and therefore it's clearly a mitzvah. But Gerishin, he calls it a din levad. There's no bracha. It's not going to be considered a mitzvah. And he then says, what about these Gemaras, which seem to indicate there's a mitzvah, Lagarsha, quotes a pasuk. So he says, no, Eimavarchin ala kalkala. Even those are not positive things that we should be reciting a bracha on. And he says it's only in a smachta. He really undermines the bracha. He really thinks, you know, everything should be reread, and that it's not going to be considered something we make a bracha on because it's not a mitzvah. Yeah, Dovi.
Repeat that very last point.
The Rivash?
Yeah.
Which, that Eim Mevarchin Al HaKalkala, or that's in a smachta?
Just the Rivash.
So the Rivash says, Kiddushin is a mitzvah as reflected by the fact that it has a bracha. But Gerishin, on the other hand, is not a mitzvah as reflected by the fact that it doesn't have a bracha. And then he asks on himself, essentially, wait a second, there is a Gemara, Tzadi Amud Beis, which says there's a mitzvah lagarsha, so you should make a bracha on those. In that case, no? He says, Ein mevarchin ala kalkala, something which is destructive, something negative like that, we're not going to make a bracha on, and that Gemara is just an esmatha anyway, so don't bother me with that. That's essentially what he's saying. Yes, Akita. Yes, I think that was what you were asking him about this, no? Someone asked him about this. Who is it? Someone asked about that in Shir, no?
I think Rabbi said it in Shir. Rabbi said
it. I know, I'm saying, someone asked him a question. It was Binyamin Bra?
Yeah.
Someone, I don't think he had like a clear maskana on it. But that was why it wasn't very clear, but I think at the end of the day, he definitely doesn't think it's like a mitzvah, I'll just say the Rashba is very different. They're both bothered by the same question. There's no bracha, which reflects one thing, but then there's Gemaras which make it sound like it is a mitzvah. So what do you do with that complicated evidence? So the Rivash is totally downplaying that Gemara. He's saying this is not a mitzvah. Don't pretend that it is. It's din levad. The Rashba says no. We actually should have made a bracha in those cases. So why don't you make a bracha on other cases, right? It's a totally opposite perspective. So like how do you go through like the Shaka Vitaria of the Tshuva of the Rivash and like whether he's Chozer or not is unclear, but it's clear that he's like not taking the mitzvah bracha route like the Rashba did.
So he says Kalkala means it makes it sound like he is.
Right, but meaning Rebbe said maybe in those circumstances he could conceive of a bracha, but like Big Adol, he doesn't think Gerishin should have a mitzvah and a bracha. Whereas meaning, Rebbe, the way Rebbe put it was, he's saying like, I don't want to use the words lo plug, because I'm about to use that for the Rashba. He was saying like, even though there might be some cases where there's a bracha that would make sense, it's not going to impact the rest of the institution of Gerishin. We have a 95% negative view of Gerishin. It's not a mitzvah. Maybe, yes, there's 5% of cases that I could understand why you'd have a bracha, but those are distinct. And in those 5% of cases, we're not going to make a bracha because it's kalkala. That's what he's saying. As opposed to the Rashba, which is like the exact opposite. The Rashba is like, we should make a bracha because of the fact that in some cases it makes sense. And he says, oh, but lo plug, we're not going to make a bracha in any circumstance. So it's just a total opposite perspective. And he says, it really it sounds like it's a mitzvah, according to the Rashba. Yes, Uriel.
I think it's a slightly different thing than the Rivash. There's an external reason to make a bracha in those cases. It's not reflective of...
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I just want to clarify. At least the way I understood it in Shir and Zeder, the only difference between the Rashba and the Rivash is the reason why, in those cases where it seems like there could be a mitzvah there, that we don't say bracha.
No, but they're coming from like totally opposite directions. Because the Rashba's like, he says we should make a bracha in certain circumstances.
Right.
And that's how he like begins. He's like, why don't we make a bracha, especially if there's the Gemara calls it mitzvah lagarsha, and he's like, okay, but because there are, I mean, it's the opposite. The Rivash says you should never make a bracha. Oh, what about the times when gerushin is a positive thing? Don't ask me about that. The Rashba does the opposite. He says, we should really make a bracha on gerushin, but we can't because of the sometimes negative circumstances where you're not matzah ba'ervas davar.
You're saying like the overall tone of the...
Not just the tone from the language, but also the presentation. Like the Rashba's coming from the opposite side. He's saying, really, my havamina would be bracha, but I can't paskin bracha because of the cases of lo matzah ba'ervas davar. Whereas the Rivash is saying, most cases are avera. Most cases are, it's a din levad. We're not avera, but it's a negative. It's just a din. It's not a mitzvah. And we're not going to make a bracha. And the 5% of cases where you could have thought there was a bracha, I'm also going to tell you not to make a bracha. Yeah? Good? Okay. So, then we saw the Avudraham, who essentially, he says the same thing as the Rashba, and he adds an additional reason, because he notes that there are some times where gerushin is a mitzvah in a different way, not in like a negative matzah ba'ervas davar way, but in an unfortunate circumstance where the wife, let's say, doesn't have children for 10 years. So then he says that there's a chiyuv lagarsha. So why wouldn't you make a bracha in that circumstance? It's not kalkala, it's not matzah ba'ervas davar, it's nus, something, hiktiklu tavshilo, some sort of upending of the marriage. Why wouldn't you make a bracha in that case? He says, because maybe the man is the one who's responsible for why they're not having children. It's his fault. He's the one who's unable to have children, and because of that, so this gerushin is not a mitzvah. And Rebbe then just ended off saying that's really weird. That his point was like, I don't know. I'm assuming he'll come back to this. I'm not sure. He just asked like a question, or it could just be a tzarach ian. I'm not sure. He was noting that it's very weird that something like that would exist. Meaning, we have halacha in front of us, and the halacha tells us what we should be doing. And when we act according to halacha, so we should then, and then halacha is a positive thing in this case, meaning it's not matzah ba'ervas davar, so we should make a bracha. If you have to get divorced because your wife isn't having children, and you're trying to fulfill a mitzvah, you're doing the best you can, so because Hashem is the one who knows, the man is responsible, so that's going to impact whether there's a bracha or not. Like, this doesn't make sense. We do the best with what we have in front of us. It shouldn't be a consideration of maybe the man is really the one who's responsible, and therefore this isn't a mitzvah. Like, it's a mitzvah. The Torah tells you have to fulfill the mitzvah of pru ervu. So getting divorced isn't a negative thing in this circumstance. So it's just weird that Rebbe said Kamish Shemaya Galia is going to impact whether there's a bracha or not. Yeah.
I'm not sure if you mentioned this in Shira or not, but like, from the fact that the Rosh and the Yudraham say that when it is a mitzvah, quote, Chai Belavin and not like a Beit Shammai case.
Yeah, I think Rebbe did. That it's what?
Not a mitzvah to me. That's not the mitzvah to me.
Right, he was... So when we were talking about Shitas Beis Shammai, I think 2 shiurim ago, Rebbe mentioned that. It's interesting, like the paradigm is the Chayve Lavin, and we're going to have to get back to that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So now, the part everyone has been waiting for, let's talk about what is the nafka... And this is going to also hopefully like crystallize everything, put everything together. The nafka mina of all of this, of all we've been saying, whether gerushin is a mitzvah or not, could really be summed up by the sugya of Ben Noach. Okay? So that's really, why did we look at Ben Noach? It's to figure out, what is our perspective on gerushin? What does it highlight? What is it all about? So, we noted the, and I'll also, like, please, let's hold off question till the end for this one, just because we need to build it up, and there's going to be a lot of steps, and I just want to make sure that we could get through all the steps in a clear, concise way, and then I'll take all questions afterwards, because I know it's challenging. So we'll get to all the questions. We have plenty of time. Okay? So, when it comes to Ben Noach, the Gemara, the Yushalmi, asks, what is the status of a Ben Noach for Kiddushin? And it tells us, Maskana is, Ben Noach ain Kiddushin l'Bnei Noach. They don't have Kiddushin. And the Rambam, as Akiva read, paskins that way. in Hilchos Ishus, as well as later in Mishneh Torah as well. It's in Hilchos Malachim. It's very obvious the Rambam holds there's no kiddushin for Ben Noach. Not in the way we have it. Meaning, there is marriage, just to be clear. When we say there's no kiddushin, we mean there's no kiddushin, nisuin, combination with Edei Kiyum. Of course, that, what we read is that if they have like Kiddushei Bia, I mean, they have Bia, there's nisuin still. There's still some sort of institution like civil marriage. There's just no marriage the way we have it with this two-stage process and Edei Kiyum. So then the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, asks, what about Gerushin? Do B'nai Noach have Gerushin or not? And again, this is an excellent way of testing, you know, does Gerushin reflect Kiddushas Yisrael or not? Or is it something universal that would apply to B'nai Noach as well? So, the Yerushalmi says that there's no Gerushin for B'nai Noach. So, we first pointed out, before we even get into what does this line mean, that this really is a culmination of so much of what we've been discussing throughout the year. The fact that Yerushalmi goes on to continue and says that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Miyached Shmo Al Yisrael, Gerushin Shel Yisrael, that Hashem like is somehow involved in the Gerushin, his name is part of the Gerushin process. This reflects that the institutions of marriage and divorce were altered. There was a special institution of Ishus that we were given after Matan Torah, wherein we have a special chalos of Ishus, and those connect to Kiddushas Yisrael. It connects a lot to what we said earlier in the year, that there are indications, I think Eitan probably touched on this, that when it comes to Geirus, there are higher forms of Geirus necessary for marriage. Like, let's say somebody has a compromised Geirus. They're not a full Geir. Their Gemaras would say that if we treat them as Jewish until they want to get married. Then they have to do Tefillah, or Kabbalah Semitzah, something like that. So what does that show? It shows you that marriage is like it's the building blocks of Klal Yisrael, and therefore needs a higher level of Kiddushas Yisrael. And therefore, when we received that Kiddusha at Matan Torah, Hashem was mechadesh the institutions of Kiddushin and Gerushin in a very unique, specific, and special way. That's why the Rambam, we noted, begins Hilchos Ishus with pre-Matan Torah history, but it's not really history. It's a way of highlighting that post-Matan Torah, it's a totally different reality. It's no longer just civil marriage or legal legalities and benefits. It's now a chalos, the bond that is created between man and wife. The Rebbe keeps calling it an existential bond that they now share. And that is created through Edei Kiyum. And it's imbued with Kiddusha, like we mentioned, from the Oser of Erisin, which is an investment in the Nisuin. And that bond is so strong that you require the specific and rigid formula of Gerushin, like we mentioned. It has to be Biksav, it has to have all these special components, the Asar Dvarim, and that is why the Rambam emphasizes what he emphasized in Sefer HaMitzvos and the Koteret and the first Halachos of Hilchos Gerushin, and that is why it is very rigid, and that is why the Parsha presents it the way it does in Torah Shebichsav. And that's why we could also understand why these institutions would be particularistic and would not apply to B'nai Noach. Because applying Gerushin and Kiddushin to B'nai Noach would miss the whole point. And therefore, as a way of highlighting everything we've been saying this year and corroborating our Mahalach, this is a great mucker and something to keep in mind. Okay, so the Yerushalmi says there's no Gerushin for B'nai Noach. And there's a Machlokas. What does it mean that there's no Gerushin for B'nai Noach? So we said the Korban Ha'idah says that no Gerushin, or I should say like this, the P'nai Moshe reads the Yerushalmi Kepshuto. There's no Gerushin for B'nai Noach. They cannot get divorced. And that's like a really fascinating point, that the lower level Kiddushin is actually going to result in a bond which is unbreakable, which maybe we'll get back to. And then you have the Korban Ha'idah, who says, no, it's not literal that they don't have any Gerushin whatsoever and they're forced to stay married for the rest of their lives until death do they part. Rather, it means that there's no Gerushin B'Ksav, the unique component of Ksav, which we have, which again reflects the matir necessary to break the strong bond of Kiddushin, of Kiddusha Yisrael. So they don't have that. They have regular Gerushin. They can do Amira B'Peh. And that's how the Korban Ha'idah reads the Yerushalmi, and that's how the Rambam reads the Yerushalmi as well. I shouldn't have said that. You're right. I'll get back to that. Yeah. So let's go back. So you have a machlokas. What does it mean that there's no Gerushin L'Yisrael? And We'll get back to the Rambam in a second. So that same shita, I forgot who was it, Rav Bone? Who, I don't remember who it was. The shita in the Yerushalmi, the Manta Amar, which says that there's no Gerish in the Yisrael, is actually, it's like an option. They say, there's no, the Gemara asks, who is it? Lebnei Noach, sorry. The Manda Amar there, it's like an option. It says, Mahu Legerishin Lebnei Noach. And then it says, either they don't have Gerishin, or that either one of them can initiate the Gerishin. I'm sorry, I should have presented it like that initially. And that right, and then we have this Machlokas about Ksav versus what, or no Gerishin whatsoever. But you have this option, right? Either no Gerishin at all, or no Gerishin B'Ksav, versus either party in the marriage, the man or the woman, is able to initiate the Kedushin, the Gerushin, Masha Inkin, by a Jew, where only the man is the one who is able to initiate the Gerushin.
Yeah. Did the two options and what they were depend on whether you said that one of the options is no Gerushin or not Ksav?
I don't think so. The Yushalmi says both options.
Right, I think there was a Machlokes to understand both options also.
I'm just reading the chat first because I want to just get to the Rambam's idea on it. But it could be. I don't remember that. But either way, the Rambam seems to paskin like both. Because the Rambam says that either the man or the woman in the non-Jewish marriage is able to initiate the divorce. But the Rambam also says that there's no ksav for Bnei Noah. So Shiari HaKorban even points out what's going on. The Rambam seems to be paskining like two sides of a mutually exclusive machlokas. So how could the Rambam do that? So the way Rebbe explained that is that, okay, actually, the Rambam, let's say it like this, read the Yerushalmi like the Korban Aida, that the first option is no one, there's no Gerushin is, sorry, like the Pnei Moshe, no Gerushin is literal. They don't have Gerushin. Bnei Noach have no option of divorce. And the other option is that either one of the parties in the marriage could initiate the divorce. Okay, and that's how the Rambam paskins. But with everything we've been saying throughout the year so far, the Rambam understood, not from the Yerushalmi, from his own global view, and from everything we've said about Gerushin, that if either party could initiate the divorce, well, what is that based on? That's based on the fact that in a Jewish marriage, it's the man who creates the chalos kiddushin. The man is the makadish. So the man has to be the one who's matir that. But in a non-Jewish marriage, where they don't have this kiddushin, they don't have this chalos, so either one of them could divorce each other, or one another. And therefore, if that's true, so the fact that either one could divorce each other is also a reflection that their gerushin is different. And if their gerushin is different, then they also don't get ksav as well. It's part of the story. It doesn't come from the Yerushalmi. It's just how the Rambam understood the global evidence. They're not going to have any of the Asara Devarim, maybe.
It was so obvious to the Yerushalmi that Ksiva was already a distinction. Don't even mention it.
Meaning, like, as a Kasha? Or as a...
No, for the Rambam, it's not that he didn't get from the Yerushalmi.
Right. Right, exactly. That's why we added on top that the Rambam is reading it like the Pnei Moshe. That the Tzad was never about Ksav versus initiation of one party and the other. It was no Gerushin at all versus that they, you know, either one could initiate. And the Rambam said, okay, so once I'm paskining, meaning because if the Tzad was no Gerushin B'Ksav versus either party could initiate, so then you can't say both. Because then the Rambam's still passing like both. But if you say, no, I'm reading it like the Pnei Moshe, so that was never an option. Ksav is not part of the Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi is not talking about it. And I'm just looking at the side I paskin like, which tells me either party in the marriage is able to initiate the divorce. So, oh, what does that indicate? That indicates Gerushin for Bnei Noach is very different, right? And if Gerushin for Bnei Noach is different from Gerushin of Yisrael, what is the most important thing, the most important part of Gerushin for the Rambam? Ksav. And they don't have that. Because of what we're saying. Yeah?
This could be a simple explanation of what the Rambam mentioned. If we didn't mention, can you just say that the Rambam does read it like Korban Eda? Like the verse says, oh.
Yes, I raised this in Shir, but Rebbe didn't want to say that.
I know why. What was Rebbe?
I thought was like an option, but yeah. Rebbe thought, no, it's like mutually exclusive.
I mean, O means
O. Yeah, so that makes sense. I hear that. Yeah, Akiva.
Does the Rambam need an Amira?
What?
Does the Rambam need an Amira?
For Bnei Noach? As opposed, like, what, like a Das?
Oh, the Rambam doesn't mention an Amira.
I'm assuming, I mean, you need something.
He just says put her out of the house.
We didn't say
right, meaning, I'm saying, as a, so you're saying Amira, as that's why I'm asking you, as opposed to what? Here, he says
Amira.
Right, I'm saying, so you're saying, theoretically, for the Rambam, let's say you just do Vishilcha, would they be divorced? I mean, you probably need some sort of das. But I don't know if you need, I don't know. I don't know if he doesn't say Amira, it could be B'dafka. Could be. But, you're right, and the diok is he only says Vishilcha. But, like what? Like every time she walks out of the house, she's divorced? Like, there has to, I'm saying there has to be, so there has to be some sort of, like, context given to that Shilcha. But, maybe, it does, you're right, maybe it doesn't have to be Amira. I would assume. I don't know. I would assume Amira is part of it. It could be it's like so obvious. But or I don't know. You have to, I don't know. That's a good question. Good thing to think about. Yeah, it's a good thing to think about. It could, and again, maybe it could be we'll get back to like when we, I don't know if we're going to get back to this point. I hope we do. But like the idea that they can't even get divorced, which is like the polar opposite of what you're saying. Like maybe they don't even need Amira to get divorced. Like,
yeah,
you know,
so
like it's like. So, like, you have, like, Mikatsa Alkatsa, so, you know, to analyze those, yeah.
Like, Nisuin or whatever, the stage of marriage obviously doesn't mean Amira.
Right, exactly. But, like, there also, but there probably is, like, you know, I don't know. I don't know, like.
It doesn't have to be a statement, we're getting married.
Right, no, that, exactly. There's no formal statement, but, like, it could be there's an informal, something informal that's part
right,
of
yeah.
it.
If I say to her, get out of my house. That's not a formal Amira's Gerich. Like,
right.
I read
right.
That's an
Amira. Right. But it might be considered an Amira Lagabe. You're right, but I'm saying once, so one, that's what I'm saying. Once you say they don't have like Gerich and Bixav, it could be they don't need anything formal at all.
Right.
And something informal would work.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, quickly. Because I want to get to the end of the Yerushalmi. Okay, so let's get now to the Raya of the Yerushalmi, and again, so now let's build up the points and then have the questions afterwards. So the Yerushalmi now tries to bring a Raya, and this is going to be the last point, by the way. So the Yerushalmi tries to bring a Raya that to prove that there's no Kirishim for Bnei Noach. So what does the Yerushalmi do? It says, if Christina marries Christopher, these are the names I'm going to use. Rebbe, by the way, always... There's two things Rebbe always does. He always likes, in these types of things, so first of all, when he talks about Geirus, he calls it crossing the Rubicon. So if anyone doesn't know what that is, look it up. It's referring to Julius Caesar when he wanted to attack Rome, which was his own kingdom, essentially. There was a river called the Rubicon, and when he crossed it, that was like, you can't go back. Like, you crossed the Rubicon. You're coming into Rome. You know, that's like a sign of war. So it's his way of saying, like, once you're Megayer, you can't go back. It's that you cross the Rubicon. There's no return anymore. That's because we don't say that. We don't say, oh, you are Megayer, now you regret it. So okay, you're not Jewish anymore. No, you're a Mumar Yisrael now. So Rebbe calls it crossing the Rubicon, as he said a few times. And he always likes to say Bartholomew becomes Baruch. But I'm not gonna. That's a mouthful for me. So I'm not going to use those names, but he always uses that. And Samantha was a new one. That was a new one. What? What'd you say? I have no idea. I think he just likes Bartholomew. I don't know. I think he likes the name Bartholomew. Like I said, Samantha was a new one. You could see that he made that on the spot, but...
But he needs a girl name,
though. I said Samantha and Sarah. That was his take on a girl, Gairus. But Bartholomew and Baruch is a classic. Okay. So let's say you have Christina, who's obviously a non-Jewish woman, otherwise that'd be really weird, marries someone named Christopher, and then they get divorced. And then Christina remarries, she marries another man, again, all while non-Jewish, and then she gets divorced again. So now she has two divorces. Okay? And I remember, this woman was originally married to Christopher. So now let's say Christina and Christopher get married, get converted, they convert. So the Gemara says they could get remarried, and don't worry, it's not a problem. Machzer grushaso. So That sounds, at first glance, okay, what's just the pashtus of the raya? Before we ask the kasha, the pashtus of the raya is that we're trying to say, look, because their gerushin doesn't count as gerushin, meaning they were married as non-Jews, they got divorced as non-Jews, and yet, now that they became Jewish, it's not machzik grushaso. So that shows us their gerushin is not a chalos gerushin. It doesn't really register as a gerushin, otherwise it would be machzik grushaso, because they're getting remarried. And there was an interim marriage, so it would be machzik grushaso. So Elamai, their gerushin is not gerushin. Amazing raya. The problem is that you don't have to say that this connects to whether there's gerushin or not for Bnei Noach. Because what might be a peripheral reason, another reason why this is not a problem of machzik grushaso? Gerushin is gaya kekatan shnol adami, right, Ezra? This is a totally separate thing. There's a concept in halacha that when a person is misgayer, they're born anew, they become a new person. So Christopher and Christina are no longer Christina and Christopher anymore. They've become Baruch and Sarah, right? They're new. So it's not machzik grushaso because their original marriage was Christopher and Christina, and this is a new people. They're new people. So of course it's not machzik grushaso. Why do you have to say it's not machzik grushaso because ain't gerushin lebnei Noach? Okay, yeah.
According to the first shot, is the second husband Chayiv Misa?
Is the second husband, like the non-Jewish husband?
Yeah. What? The first divorce never happened.
So we mentioned that.
I think that was I don't think he'd be... He's non-Jewish.
No, but then Noah.
You're saying if you hold that they can't get divorced?
Yeah.
I think that was kind of like what Baruch...
Woman also.
Yeah, if we hold... Yeah.
There's not much a case where we know they did it, but we know they didn't.
Yeah. It definitely works better if you hold in Gerushin Biksav.
But then this isn't approved.
Well, that might be why the Pnei Moshe comes up with a different thing. That's what Okay. So we'll get to that in a second. Okay. So right. So the question is, why is the Gemara coming onto the explanation of in Gerushin Bnei Noach when you have the peripheral reason? And I'm using that word deliberately. It's a peripheral reason. You don't have to say in Gerushin Yisrael. You have the alternative called Gershon is Karkatan Shinol Adam. So Rav Rosenzweig gave the following very important yesod. When do we say Gershon is Gaya Karkatan Shinol Adami in general, in Kol of Torah Kula? When do we apply that? So if you look at different examples, we don't always say Gershon is Karkatan Shinol Adami. So for example, if a person is Chayiv Onshin, he did something wrong and he deserves a punishment, you can't convert and say, oh, I'm not Bartholomew anymore, I'm Baruch, you can't punish me. No, you're still deserving of a punishment. You can't get out scot-free. You can't escape punishment by converting. Additionally, let's say, Pru Urvu, if you have children, we don't say, oh, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of Pru Urvu anymore because you never had children, because now you converted. No, we say your previous children are still, you still are fulfilling the mitzvah of Pru Urvu. All of these are machloksim. Yeah, but just to, according to the opinions which say, not apply Gershon is Karkatan Shinol Adami. And then the last one, another machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ritva. So just to explain the sugya a little bit, you have a case of Isser Lebal, Isser Leboel. Normally, if a person is married and they are Mizana, so that woman, she can't be with her husband, Isser Lebal, and she's not allowed to be with the person who she was with, Isser Leboel. So let's say you have a non-Jewish man who is ma'anis a woman, and then he converts. So now he's Jewish. So could he marry that woman who he was ma'anis? It's not a positive thing, Rebbe said, right? Definitely not a good thing, but just halachically, is it okay? Or should we say, no, it's Isser, Asur Leboel. Asur Leboel, maybe. Because he was Boel, right? He was the Boel. He had Znus with her. He was Manasser. And now he's... So even though as a non-Jew, it doesn't matter. What about now that he's Jewish? So Rabbeinu Tam says, oh, Bias Goy ki Bias Behema. Doesn't register. This is... He could totally marry her. There's no Isser Leboel. Because his Bia doesn't count. But the Ritva says, wait, I don't understand, Rabbeinu Tam. You don't have to say Isser Leboel, Isser Leboel. Sorry, you don't have to say Bias Goy ki Bias Behema. Say it was Bias Goy is a real... It's a real Bia. But... He's a new person. So there was Isser Leboel with Bartholomew, but not with Baruch. Right? So there's no Isser Leboel. So why does Rabbeinu Tam disagree? Right? It sounds like Rabbeinu Tam doesn't hold that you could say Gershon is Gar, Kikatan Shinola Dami, to get out of Isser Leboel. You have to say Bias Goy Ki Bias Behema. So why? When do we apply Gershon Iskari and when do we not? Dietz, you had a question or?
Yeah, sorry. I didn't say Gemara, because I don't know if it's a question, but just the rule of the Isser Leboel applies even in the case of Anus. I mean, that's, but there's a bowl in the case of a Sota, that the Gemara in Sota comes out, and knowing that it talks about Heloises.
I'm pretty sure that's what.
I don't know that Gemara, so that's true. That also, even in the case of
we were talking about this, no?
It's not in both Anus and Baratza.
Oh, was Baratzon? He doesn't say Onas. I thought he explicitly said Onas. Oh, maybe I'm wrong. I thought he said Onas, but... Yeah, meaning... He said, like, Rabbeinu Tam... Here. Hold on. I thought... Because that's not what the, you're right, that's not what the Gemara is talking about, and then Rabbeinu Tam says, oh, you could take it a step further. He doesn't say, on, and then he, okay, fine, so I guess I added that. My apologies.
She was Nestor
to
the husband.
So no, Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah, that's a question. Bias Goy, Bias Behema. That's part of the question. Oh, sorry. I brought up Onas because that's what the Gemara is talking about.
Right.
With the Prutzos and okay, fine. But it's fine. You're right. In the case of the Goy, it's not actually Onas. Okay. My apologies. But that is what the sugya there is about. Okay, fine. So when do we say Gerushin is Karek Katan Shnola Dami, and when do we not? So. Rebbe said the following, and I hope we could say this in a way, like Akiva was asking me, I don't think there's like a, because this is like a way of getting at a greater answer, we're not going to be able to have like a clear, like, okay, here's where we always say, Gershon is Karkat Noladami. Rebbe was giving like a short insight to a much greater Mahala. So we need to be like very aware that like, some things are still going to be ambiguous, some things are vague, and like hopefully you stick around for more years and you collect more of the Mahala. But I'm going to do the best I can with what we said. But definitely, like, yes, a lot of these things are machloksim, and it's not obvious when exactly what we're about to say applies, but it still is going to help us, and it's going to still make sense, hopefully. So Rebbe said that you only apply Gershon Iskayer Kikatan Shinola Dami when there's no continuity between pre-conversion and post-conversion, as opposed to when there is continuity, you don't say Gershon Iskayer Kikatan Shnola Dami. So what the heck does that mean? So it means that if you think of Gershon Iskayer Kikatan Shnola Dami, it's not like a magic trick, like, okay, Gershon Iskayer Kikatan Shnola Dami. It has a logic to it. You're Jewish, and and things in, because of a lot of, actually what we've been saying, we'll see, like a lot of our institutions are totally mechudash. They add an element which didn't exist in your non-Jewish life. So therefore, you're a new person. You're different than you were before because halacha could take elements of things that exist in the world and imbues them with something unique, something different, something special. And therefore, now as a Jew, so you're just in a different reality. It's a different world. It's like a beautiful way of looking at halacha, actually. So if something is unique to being Jewish, there's not going to be continuity between your Jewish persona and your pre-Jewish persona. Because now that you're Jewish, it's totally different. As opposed to if something is, as Rebbe called it, like dependent on being a human, it's more universal. It applies to everyone in the world equally, right? So then we're not going to say that there's a disruption between pre and post conversion. There's actually a continuity, right? So like pru or vu, again, we understand there's a mitzvah for everyone just to populate the world, and that's not like unique to the Jewish people. So the fact that you're now Jewish doesn't upend your pru or vu from before. And same thing with onshin, like you can't just go around hurting people. We need civil law. And we have punishments for acting improperly. And you can't say, oh, I'm not a non-Jew anymore. Like, no, there was already an onshin when you were not Jewish that exists. It carries over to your Jewish life also. Meaning, if it existed before as something universal, it's going to exist even though you're now adding the chiddush of being Jewish, so to speak. And the same thing with Isser Leboel. Like, you can't do that. It's not a... It's nus, right? We have We have certain moral standards for everybody. And you can't say, oh, I'm Jewish, so it's not, there's no Issur the Boel anymore. No, it exists. The Issur the Boel was there, and it's going to carry over into your Jewish state. So therefore, Gerushin is Garki Katan Shno Adami is only when there is a gap between non-Jewish and Jewish. So, let's plug that back into the Yerushalmi. We have been noting so far that Gerushin and Ishus, Kiddushin, right, all of it, is different for Jews than it is for non-Jews. So if that's the case, there is a gap between non-Jewish and Jewish. And we therefore would expect, actually, that Gershin Iskayash Kekatan Shinol Adami would be a factor here. And that's exactly the point. What's the Yerushalmi trying to prove? That B'nai Noach have a different stance when it comes to Gershin, a different status in the world of Gershin. So, as we started, we said, oh, Gershin Iskayash Kekatan Shinol Adami is a peripheral thing. It's something else. It's external to this question of whether there's Gerushin for B'nai Noach or not. And the answer is no, it's not. It actually is an indication that there's no Gerushin for B'nai Noach. It's a way of proving that Gerushin is different for Klal Yisrael. So you don't have to use... We have the answer. The answer... What's the raya that there's no Gerushin? This exact case. Oh, what about Gerushin is Karak Kanten Shinol Adami? That's just another indication of exactly what the Yerushalmi is trying to prove, that B'nai Noach and Yisrael are different. And that's exactly how we answer the Pnei Moshe too. Because the Pnei Moshe, and we'll finish with this, does something very strange. The Pnei Moshe says, oh, the reason why there's no Machzer Grushaso is because Gershin is Garak Kadon Shinol Adami. That's how he explains the answer of the Yerushalmi. So first of all, the Yerushalmi doesn't say that. And number two, you've proved that there's no Machzer Grushaso problem, but how, by saying Gershin is Garak Shinizgar Kadjanoladami, how did you help us prove that there's no Gershin for B'nai Noach? You just helped us prove that conversion, you know, is going to wipe away Machzer Grushaso. Elamai, no. Gershin is Garak Kadjanoladami is an indication that there's a gap between non-Jewish and Jewish Gershin. And that's why we have Gershin is Gaia here. And that is an answer, and that is a good riot. And that was a perfect litmus test for understanding everything we've been saying this year, and it's a nafkamina to whether, you know, is Gerushin a mitzvah? You know, is it this maybe positive reflection of Kiddushas Yisrael? And if so, is that only in certain cases? Is there going to be a difference between Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni? Right, so that's what we're going to continue doing in the subsequent shirim. Is there going to be a difference between how Beis Shammai looks at Gerushin versus Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva? And could we be machalik? Are we going to sometimes pass on like Beis Shammai? Again, how is that, and how is that going to impact the way we look at this institution as a mitzvah or not?